The field of mental health counseling is growing rapidly, and Richmond Graduate University can equip you with everything you need as a licensed professional counselor while integrating your faith into your clinical practice. Programs are offered in Atlanta, Chattanooga, and online. Apply today at richmont.edu. That's richmont.edu.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells,
about residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there,
and the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle, stories about life on the inside told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
For Wednesday, July 28th, 2021, it's The Brief from WABE. I'm Emil Moffitt. Governor Brian Kemp says Georgia will not lock down or impose statewide mask mandates. In a series of tweets this afternoon, Kemp wrote, "Nearly all new COVID-19 hospitalizations statewide are unvaccinated people, and vaccines are the greatest tool to defeat the virus." This comes as Savannah Mayor Van Johnson announced this week he is reinstating a mask requirement indoors, citing a rise in coronavirus infections, especially from the highly transmittable Delta variant. Georgia was among the first states to reopen last April in the height of the pandemic. Voting rights advocates are echoing concerns from Fulton County elections officials that GOP lawmakers will use Georgia's new voting law to take over the county's election process. The Republican-backed Senate Bill 202 was signed into law earlier this year. Part of it allows for state intervention in so-called low-performing county elections offices. Mark Nisi covers voting for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. He says the end game could mean the majority GOP state election board appoints its own administrator to manage Georgia's most populous and mostly Democratic county.
What if you had someone trying to tip the scales of an election one way or another if a temporary administrator is in charge of elections at the time the 2022 election for governor rolls around, when a temporary superintendent could potentially be deciding on things such as certifying vote counts?
In a news conference on Tuesday, the Fulton County Commission Chair Rob Pitts criticized Republican Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger, who's up for re-election next year. Secretary of State has called for top Fulton County election officials to be fired. Meanwhile, Fulton's Board of Commissioners says it's funneling $75 million in federal COVID relief funds to tackle a backlog of cases caused by the pandemic. Officials say the COVID-19 pandemic has backed up more than 200,000 cases in one of the largest and busiest systems in the Southeast. The funds will go toward staffing, opening up more virtual courtrooms, and extending court hours. This comes as the Atlanta Regional Commission says there were more than 7,000 reported eviction filings across the metro area last month. Even as Atlantans venture out of their houses again to eat, some parts of the restaurant industry are still recovering from the pandemic. Some places didn't make it. Others are having trouble finding workers. Pitmaster and chef Rodney Scott has won a prestigious James Beard Award. He's also been featured on the show Chef's Table on Netflix, and he's written a book. He opened his Whole Hog Barbecue restaurant in South Carolina a couple of years ago, then expanded to Birmingham and now Atlanta in a converted auto repair shop in the Adair Park neighborhood, across the street from the Met. And that's where we met up to chat earlier today.
One of the things that that drew us to Atlanta was the fact that it has such a diverse culture, a rich history. And when we came into this neighborhood, it kind of felt like home. It reminded me of home. We started in what was an old gas station in Hemingway, South Carolina. And when I saw this place in this area, it felt like Hemingway surrounded by this, you know, this big city. And I said, man, this is a great place to start, you know. And I just fell in love with the old garage setup. Again, the area, and I've always said I want to come to an area, I want to compliment it. And that's what we're here to do. We're here to compliment this whole neighborhood and everybody that's in it, and hopefully serve them some of the best barbecue we ever could.
And what is it about the South Carolina style of barbecue that may be different from different parts of the country?
Man, you know, no disrespect to the rest of the country, but I think barbecue originated in the South. And being that I'm from South Carolina, of course I'm going to be, you know, lenient towards the fact that South Carolina is where it started. In my mind, it is. And South Carolina is known for three different types of sauces and vinegar pepper. The style that we use here at Rodney Scott's Whole Hog is the style that we kind of grew accustomed to, that we grew up with. And I think that's what makes South Carolina a little unique, the three different types of sauces, with the vinegar and pepper sauce being one of the main ones.
We're about a year and a half now into the pandemic. How has it affected your business and the way you do business?
The pandemic affected us year one with our staff. We were very concerned about our staff and their well-being. We set up a program where they came in and we would feed their families every day. And we had a drive-through window in Charleston, and we learned to operate through the drive-through and to-go orders, and that taught us how to better ourselves in taking care of our people first and making sure that the consumer is safe. And then we decided to adjust around everything. We studied the CDC rules daily, and in learning that, we learned a lot of things. We communicated every day. We made sure that we were very, very careful and very safe as much as possible. And it paid off for us, honestly, because Netflix released in the middle of the pandemic, and that kind of drew a lot of attention to our restaurant.
There's been a lot of talk lately about people, employees leaving the restaurant industry in the midst of the pandemic. What are some of the keys to recruiting and keeping people working in a restaurant environment?
I think one of the key things to keeping people working in a restaurant environment is communicating with your staff, letting them know that they're important. You know, a lot of people hire folks and never have another conversation with them. Me, I try to learn their names. I try to figure out, you know, what do you enjoy most about the job? What's your favorite position in the job? All these little things, I like to communicate with them and make sure that they want to come to work. Make them happy to come to work, not just thinking, I'm just going to go get a paycheck. And, you know, let them know that there's opportunities that lie within our operation.
And we have, obviously, the vaccine is here, but now there's a little pullback on people going out, perhaps. What are your thoughts on people coming back to eat at restaurants and where we go in the next year or so?
It's relieving to go out and eat dinner. You know, still practice safety. You know, wash your hands, keep your distance, whatever makes you comfortable. But in our case, we have a walk-up window. If you're not comfortable with, you know, sitting in our restaurant, you know, you can come in and order your food to go. So I feel like it's going to be fine. The pandemic is what it is. I feel like if we stay safe and adjust ourselves accordingly, we'll be fine.
Rodney Scott talking to us in his new barbecue restaurant in Adair Park. Georgia's Office of the American Red Cross says the need for blood is significantly higher now than at this time last year, even as COVID infections were hitting new highs. Alex Helmick has that story.
In the state and around the country, the Red Cross said in a statement that it is distributing 12% more blood and platelet donations than in July of last year. The group says it needs to collect 1,000 more donations a day to meet its demand, and is especially in need of type O, the universal donor. A Red Cross spokeswoman says more people are now having surgeries they delayed because of COVID, traveling for vacations finally, as well as an increase in trauma cases at hospitals, and that's all causing the shortage. People who have been vaccinated for COVID-19 can still donate in most cases. Alex Helmick, WAB News.
The Braves, along with the City of Atlanta and several community groups, are combining efforts to restore a baseball field once used by the city's Negro League baseball team. The practice field for the Atlanta Black Crackers stood there for years in Bush Mountain, the neighborhood in the southwest part of the city. Bobby Glover remembers hanging out there as a child.
We used to camp in the woods to catch the home run balls and sell them back to the guy for a nickel.
Dozens of volunteers gathered there today to refurbish the field, plant a community garden, and build a walkway to the park. Nataki Jelks leads the West Atlanta Watershed Alliance. She says it's part of a larger effort to return the area to a place where neighbors can gather and be active.
We haven't been able to fully utilize it, and the community has not been able to fully get the benefit that it's wanted to see out of this space. And so today represents that first opportunity to reclaim the vision that the community has.
Relatives and descendants of some of the Black Crackers players were on hand to mark the occasion. That's it for The Brief. You can find more local news at our website, wabe.org. Lily Oppenheimer is our producer. Our editor is Kathleen Quillian. In for Jim Burris, I'm Emil Moffitt. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now Plugged In, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.